On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? A very different show today because it could be good. My guest is a name that you might be familiar with if you've listened to the show over the years. It's Mark Schipetta. He does so many different things, none of them well, and he does everything well. He does television and radio. He's a private investigator. He built the White House from scratch. It's an incredible talent, and he joins us here this morning on the program. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Ronald. Thank you for having me again. I think this is my 248th appearance.
249, actually. Yes, you forgot the time that you were removed by the FBI for lewd and lascivious comments on the air.
Yes.
But nonetheless, here you are. I hooked up with Mark back in 1927, during Prohibition, where he offered me a drink, and we were friends ever since.
Mark, and it was a cup of tea.
It was a cup of tea. As a matter of fact, it's funny you bring that up, Mark. Later on in the show, Mark and I will be speaking to an actual sommelier of tea.
When you said Somalian, I thought he was...
He's Somalian.
He was like a pirate or something.
He was Somalian. He's a Somalianish. What would you call somebody from Somalia? A Somalian.
Somalian.
Somalian. He's a Somalian. Somalian.
And he's British.
He's
I like British. I like British. I mean, I know a lot of British people. I've in my TV world that I'm in, it tends to often be British based people that reach out to me.
British
based. Okay. I wish it was British babes. Most of the television producers that I've worked with over the years are from Great Britain, so I've become very, very friendly with them. They're good people.
They're nice people. I love the accents. Yeah. I don't see how you can go wrong.
Could be a real prick, but they could, but they're just so nice when they're a prick.
They're nice pricks.
Yes. Right? They're not that prickly. Right.
I'm going to take you all the money you have, and I'm going to screw you up the ass. Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's very nice, I guess. Thank you, I guess. Yeah, you don't know how to take them.
Yeah.
British females, I think, it's a very attractive thing. And French accents as well.
Yeah, I order my twins, Troy and Andrew, who have muscular dystrophy, as people know, I order their medicine from the UK and have it shipped over. So I get to deal with all the reps over there that have the British accents.
Very
nice. And there were a few of them that I knew for years, just from talking with them.
Yeah.
And then when Facebook came around, they found me and requested me as a friend. And then I just really wished that it was just a voice.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to put a picture with the voice. You just want to leave the... You ever do that? Like you paint a picture of what you think someone looks like.
Well, in radio, that's a very popular thing to do.
Yeah.
A lot of people had said to me over the years when they met me, oh, I thought you were fat. And I said, okay, thank you, I guess.
And people say to me, I thought you were tall.
Yeah, well, that's the magic of radio, I guess, right? I suppose.
Yeah.
And then we say to ourselves, we should just leave it at that. We should leave the radio thing and just stay away from everything else.
Right.
Did I ever tell you my El Torito story?
No, that's an old Mexican restaurant, right?
Yes. It was a chain of Mexican restaurants back in the 80s, I suppose. Yeah. And I used to frequent one of them up in Braintree. Because I worked up in that area.
I remember that one.
And one day after work, I went in there with another guy that that worked in the same place, and we said to ourselves, and he was kind of into acting a little bit, and he said, let's be British tonight. Sounded kind of kinky now that I think about it. Let's be British tonight. So we went to the bar, and we sat there during happy hour, and we both put on British accents. And we wanted to see how many people would turn around and actually start conversations with us. Would it change our entire experience just because we were speaking in an accent?
Yeah.
And my God, man, did it change. We had the bartender, there was a male and a female bartender. Both of them engaged us in conversation. People sitting next to us turned around and engaged us in conversations. And I realized that I could make something of this, but then eventually the female would find out that I don't really have an accent, and that would just blow everything. But it was amazing how that made such an incredible social difference.
Did you actually use certain terminologies, and did you say you were from certain areas of... Did you like actually, you know, break it down?
Well, I had actually been there, so so I was able to refer to certain places, and my friend would just go, you bet.
Yeah. Liverpool.
I was London. I didn't want to take any chances. So I just did the general
Abbey
London
Road
thing.
Abbey.
Who is this friend of mine, Abbey?
That's cool. It
was a good social experiment, actually, is what it was.
Social experiments are fun.
Oh, the good times. Well, you're an actor every once in a while. And by the way, that was the excuse I was going to use if I were found out. Mm-hmm. I would say, and we had a plan before we walked in, we're going to say we're actors and we have to, for the day, use accents for training. So we apologize for that. We weren't trying to fool you. We were in training.
Well, they made us do that when I lived in L.A. back in the early 90s. Our acting coach made us do... certain social experiments. They made us dress, kind of dress down as homeless people one day and try to collect change on the side of the road.
Who knew that one day?
Yes, right, that I'd actually be homeless. I've been homeless numerous times.
He has a home, they just don't let him in. That's all.
Right.
Yes, which would be homeless, I suppose.
And I've raided change from my kids' piggy banks numerous occasions. Whatever, I put it there.
Same deal. Yeah, we did. When you lived in California... You were trying to break into acting.
Yes.
And I understand that's where they gave you a taste of the private detective business.
Yeah, when I broke into acting back in the early 1990s, and I remember this well, and I probably shouldn't, well, I guess it's been on record before, but...
Careful.
I took it. No, it's okay. I really don't care. Right. I know thousands and thousands of people listen to this podcast, I remember back in 1992, I was taking an acting class with this woman, Bobby Shaw Chance, and she was the hot commodity in L.A., and you had to get into her acting class, and you had to audition to get into her acting class. So you'd go like two or three nights a week. It's like going to yoga or karate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was a little stadium type seating and with the stage. And you'd go there and she'd give you your sides, you know. So sides is a script.
Okay.
And then you'd part. You didn't know that?
No.
You'd get your sides and then you'd get a partner. Mm-hmm. And then you would go out to the parking lot or hang out and you'd rehearse, you know, with the partner, and then you'd come back in and you'd perform in front of her, and then you'd get critiqued. Uh-huh. This was one of the things you did aside from actually being taught lessons on how to act. Mm-hmm. And on this particular night, Andy Garcia was there.
Oh.
And he was a special guest. Mm-hmm. And he was going to sit in on everyone's scene and critique the scene. Mm-hmm. All right, so we got a scene where it was two guys that were under the influence of marijuana in a car, having a conversation, somewhat of a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sommelier?
No, somewhat of an animated conversation, because we were high.
Oh.
All right, so my partner, who I didn't really know, he's just another kid in the class, said, "Hey, I have a roach in my ashtray. Would you like to smoke it?"
Oh boy.
And I said,
"Oh boy."
And I felt the peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, of course I didn't inhale,
right,
but I actually went out there and I smoked the roach with him.
Yes.
And then we came in and we did the scene.
Ah.
And Andy Garcia said, "That was so realistic."
But you hadn't smoked.
No, I actually did.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what a wonderful actor you are.
So is that called method acting?
It's called acting while you're high, I think is what that's called.
This was in 1992. This is
what they all did.
Now, again, I don't advocate smoking marijuana. But,
why not?
It's
legal.
Right, it is legal. But I did experiment with it in the late 80s and in the early 90s. And I teach my children not to. But,
let me tell you something, Mark.
It was kind of fun.
I smoked when I was younger, and I developed glaucoma. So, opposite?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I just developed? Here, let me show. Oh.
Did you develop those pictures that you took?
No. What do you think of these?
Oh.
What do you think?
Nice. You look smart.
Do you like them?
He's putting glasses on his face, ladies and gentlemen. I've never seen Mark with glasses on before.
I just picked them up the other day.
Good for you.
From my eye doctor.
Does it make a hell of a difference?
You know what? They're called progressive glasses.
Yeah. Well, good for this day and age.
Yes. They're very progressive. they're very cutting. They're very cutting edge.
Right, yes. Well, that's nice.
But they have like three different frequencies.
Yes.
They also have they turn into sunglasses. Yep. So if there's a glare coming into our studio, you'll see them change in color.
Wow.
And then if some ongoing headlights come at us while we're doing the show,
they scream for you.
Right.
Oh my God, we're gonna die.
Speaking of glaucoma,
well, it's very nice actually. You look like incredibly intelligent.
Do I?
Yeah. You look like a scientist now.
My eye doctor told me I have a cataract in my eye.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I said a cataract? He's Asian.
Yeah. Oh, so he said...
I'm kidding.
I got you.
No, but I actually do have a cataract.
You have a car in there.
Yes.
I have an Eldorado. All right.
Sorry.
Okie dokie.
No, but I really do have a cataract.
Well, I have a Mustang. So that's... Yeah, who doesn't have something? You know, we've talked about this before. When you get toward the 50 years old end of life, you develop the crap, and it's not a big deal. Yeah. I mean, it's who cares at that point?
Yeah, the amount of hair that comes out of my nostrils now—if it was only growing on top of my head—it'd
be beautiful. Getting into the transplant business.
Right.
You've taken your nose hairs and your ear hairs and we put them on the top of your head.
Is that what Dr. Robert Leonard does? He just plucks them out of your nose and plants them in the top of your head?
Plucks and glues. That's my new company, Pluck and Glue.
So yeah, I have to wear glasses now and I'm struggling to get...
You wear them all the time now.
Well, you know what?
I mean, I have glasses. I hardly wear them unless I'm looking at the computer screen or something.
I all of a sudden wasn't able to read like pill bottles boxes of medicine, and I read police reports all day for a living, being an investigator, and I was straining and struggling to read the small print.
Yeah, that's what happens, man.
My wife was concerned that now that my eyes are corrected, I may not be, as attracted to her. Because I'd actually see what she
adorable.
Looks like.
That's so adorable. Like before you couldn't see anything.
Right?
That's so adorable. Very cute. Very good.
Yes.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
No.
I thought you were going to say, if your eyes go, usually your penis is smaller. And she was concerned. But that's not what you were saying. What kind of phone do you have? Cell phone, by the way. That's a huge screen.
I have the iPhone 6 Plus.
That is a huge screen, man.
Well, it's excited right now because it's here at the radio studio. When I leave here, it'll probably go down to a 4.
I know. And it's also colder.
Yes.
Can we compare sizes? And we're doing phones, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know.
Yes.
I just want to see.
Is mine bigger than yours?
Well, it looks like it is. No,
it's they're about the same, but I have that case.
That's what it is. The case makes it look.
Because I drop it a lot.
Yeah. I love the big phones.
I do too.
I love the big phones.
And I put the, in back to my eye problem, I put the big font on there as well.
Me too.
It just makes me feel
too.
Like.
Me too.
Yes.
But why, you know, why not? Why not put the bigger font on?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's what they make glasses for.
Right. I love it. It's
that's a great phone.
It is a great phone.
I'm very upset about cell phones. I don't know if you know this, but you can't upgrade phones anymore. It used to be where they would have 2-year contracts.
Right.
And you want to get the newer phone.
Right.
So you upgrade like every year or every 2 years, you can do that. And you pay like $199 and you get the brand new phone, but you have to stay with them for 2 years and end of game.
Now you rent them.
Can't do that anymore with almost every company.
Yeah.
And the ones that aren't doing it will be doing it.
I
have to rent them.
I lease this phone.
Yeah.
And then when the new phone comes out.
Yeah, I know that thing.
Yeah.
But that's money, man. That's like every month, man. It used to be for $200. You were good for 2 years. No, not now.
I have 4 phones on my plan, so the kids and everything, and my wife, and it's I'll go 3 months without paying, and then all of a sudden I'll get a text saying you owe $973.
Yeah, that doesn't help much.
And it's like, how the hell is my phone bill so high?
Yeah.
And my wife's like, well, maybe because you don't pay it.
It's not good. Do they send you bills in the mail?
No, I'm paperless now.
Oh, see, that's the problem with paperless.
I delete the email. I don't get the emails. You forget.
I do the mail on everything because
it reminds you.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's a reminder system.
Yeah. Same with bank statements. I get all my bank statements on the computer now.
Yeah.
And I don't look at them.
Yeah. And so there could be charges there you don't even know about.
I'm so bad with money. I had a client call me up Sunday morning around 10 a.m. and it was the bookkeeper.
Yeah.
And they underpaid me $1,000 on a case.
Oh, and they were being honest and you didn't even know it.
I didn't even know it. That's and I went back and I looked in the bank account. What happened was the attorney just wrote it wrong.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like $1,950-something. And, you know, so she put the 1950 in the little box, but then she wrote it $1,050.
That's a big difference.
And forgot to put, you know, so the bank adjusted it.
Good.
And
hopefully up.
The bank only paid me $1,050.
So they do what's in writing, not what's in numbers.
And so then I went and picked up a check yesterday for $900 something.
So they're awfully honest with you. They could have just scammed you.
Right. Well, you know what? They're very. I'm their dick.
Everybody's dick.
And that says a lot because the two women in this law firm, I think, are lesbians. So the fact that they're so fond of this dick.
It's about the only time they'd be able to say that.
Right. It's flattering.
It's flattering. They don't mean it, but it's flattering. Where did that term come from? Of course, we always joke about
Dick Tracy.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah,
gumshoe comes from the bottom of the soles.
But was Dick Tracy was like back in the 40s,
I think.
So
yeah.
And so back then, I would assume that that the penis was not referred to in any sense of a dick whatsoever.
I think it was a schlong back then.
Probably, but it was not a dick.
No,
because otherwise, why would they come up with a phrase like that?
It might have been a Richard.
A Bob.
Right. I don't know. And I probably should know more about the
background of a dick.
Well, I research history of a dick and it just gave me a bunch of graphic pictures.
Well, on the internet, of course.
Yes.
Do you ever notice when you go on the internet and you search anything, there's a dirty version of every single concept?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's always going to end up with some type of Asian schoolgirl, no matter what you do.
You want to hear a cool story?
Sure. I've got time.
So I have this friend at the gym,
yeah.
And we shoot the shit about life here and there, and he was telling me about his 21-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
So his 21-year-old, I was asking how his boys are doing, because one's struggling with addiction, and his younger one is just struggling with just being a dick.
Yes.
You know, instead of addiction, he's just being a dick.
And so, not a private detective.
Right. So he was on a dating website.
Yeah.
A free dating website. Mm-hmm. And so he hooks up with this girl.
Yeah.
And they exchange, they end up exchange numbers and they're texting each other. And she sends him a picture of her breasts.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, I want to see your junk.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes a picture of his private parts and then he texts it to her. So they're going back and forth and they're setting up. This is a 21-year-old kid and she says she's 18 years old. And they're setting up a meeting, a meet and greet to get together and do the nasty. So he says, hey, you know, I live here in the city and, you know, I have a trailer in my backyard, you know, a camper that my dad lets me hang out in. Why don't you come hang out? And she's like, well, I live about, 45, 50 minutes away. I'll head over. And they're texting and they're texting. And then all of a sudden he gets a text from someone that says, as she's driving, she says, I just want to let you know I'm 16 and I'm going to be 17
soon. Oh, my God.
Soon. So, of course, his junk is all aroused and she's on his way over and she's already sent pictures of her private parts and he just kind of ignores that.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, you know, some time passes and he gets a text message from someone saying, you know, this is so-and-so's father. She's been in a nasty car accident and she's in the hospital. And I'm going to call the police on you because you solicited a minor. All right, so this thing goes on and goes on, and there's dialogue, and this guy actually calls him and threatens him.
Wow.
So one thing leads to another. A day or so passes. He sends a text saying that she's okay. She's out of the hospital, but there's this car that we have to deal with. And he has a picture of the damage to the car.
Oh, wow.
So he sends a picture of the car, and he says, look, I won't go to the police if you pay half the car. Here's the bill. It's going to be $1,500 to fix it. You give me $750, and we'll call it a day, and I won't go to the cops. So this kid's sweating and stressing out, and eventually tells his dad, and his dad's like, Jesus Christ, this doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
So one of his friends that come over, who's you know pretty intuitive kid, says, this doesn't sound right.
Well, yeah.
He goes, I have an app on my phone that you can put the picture in and it'll analyze that picture and it'll tell you when that picture was taken.
Oh, interesting.
Or when that picture was first put on the internet.
Okay.
Come to find out, the picture was like 5 years old.
Ah.
And it was a scam.
Oh, boy.
And the picture of her tits was something, it was a stock,
it always
a
seems,
stock photo.
Always seems to be.
But these people actually went to the point where they actually called. And,
catfished.
Right, can you imagine that?
No, yes, I can. So what did they do about it?
He just sent the text back saying, screw you, I know this is a scam, go F yourself, and that was the last he heard.
Wow.
You know, from them.
Scary, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, because once his Dick Tracy, you know, got excited, he wasn't thinking rational.
Correct. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's just scary, because I probably would have fallen for it.
Sure.
No, I'm just teasing.
You know what made it sound legit is you were saying to it, telling me the story.
Yeah.
The damage is $1,500.
Yeah.
You pay half. It was like, well, that sounds almost fair.
Right.
I mean,
I'm not going to go to the cops. You send me $1,500. Yes. You meet me and give me $15. I'm not sure what it was.
Right.
But the scam actually turned into a real person.
Yes.
That was doing it.
Interesting.
And
interesting stuff.
Yeah. So I guess there's people out there on these free websites. That's why it pays to, if you're going to date online, go to go pay for Christian Mingle or something.
Or Jewish Mingle.
Jewish Mingle or Somalian Mingle or whatever.
Jewish Metal.
Right. Right.
Somalian. Somalian. Right. Yes. Yeah, we're going to speak to a Somalian pretty soon, by the way. Well, he's not Somalian. He's a Somalian.
Was he in that? Ask him if he was in that movie.
You ask him.
I will ask him, actually, since I'm doing the interview with you.
Well, why don't you not ask him?
What was that movie with the captain there, with Tom Hanks?
Gilligan's Island? Captain Phillips?
Captain Phillips.
Okay.
Wasn't he taken hostage by the Somalian pirates?
Yes, actually he was. You're right. And they actually tasted wine together.
I think in that there was that one scene where the pirates were teabagging the captain.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't? The captain, man. You gotta teabag the sucker. All right.
Hey, what did you think of I didn't listen to your show yesterday.
Of course not.
did you talk about the whole David Bowie thing yesterday?
Yes, yes. We played one of my favorite David Bowie songs.
Isn't it funny how why can't we celebrate people when they're alive? Why do we have to wait till they die?
Because it would be in poor taste to celebrate somebody's death prematurely when they're feeling just fine.
But did you see that video he did?
Yes.
Was that creepy? It is very creepy. What?
It's very creepy. And of course, the big talk now is that he knew that he was going to
die.
When you have cancer, you kind of, the doctors told him probably you have a year and a half. And he probably said, all right, I'm going to get to work here and do this.
Was there some symbolic thing there? He had almost like a prison black striped suit on. He was in jail.
Everything was symbolic.
Dancing really fast and it was
very strange. I guess in one of the songs, one of the first songs, within the first lines, he said, when you hear this, I'll be gone or something like that. It was like, well,
very talented guy. Yeah,
very talented and very creepy stuff. But yeah.
Ground Control to Major Tom.
That was the one I played.
I love that song. That is one of my, every time that comes on one of the rock stations I listen to, I just love that song.
Yeah.
I mean, Lady Gaga and all the various acts that put makeup on and dress in drag and wear spandex. And I mean, they all have him to thank for that, right? I mean, he had kind of
so. Yeah, he
many,
was
many
he was,
personalities.
He was the first real punk. I guess we would call it punk at a point.
Yeah,
but it was even before there was punk.
Yeah,
he probably.
And then at the '80s, you know, he had his resurgence in the '80s with with a lot of.
It really changed with the times. He sang with Bing Crosby Christmas songs.
I love that. Mean, that's just, my all time favorite Christmas song.
Oh, you're really weird.
Really? Yeah. You don't like that song?
I never liked Bill Crosby.
I listened to your show a few weeks ago, and during the holidays, I should say, a month or so ago.
It was
ago.
Touching.
And I was listening to Tori, who's a guest with you.
Right.
And I actually sent her a text after that show.
Great trouble.
because she was so right about that like we... You know, Christmas songs are supposed to be happy, but they're depressing every single artist is freaking dead.
Yeah.
You know, like that Karen Carpenter song.
Yeah, I know.
And Bing Crosby.
That's sad.
And that King. Everyone is dead.
Yeah. Well, the older you get, the more you're able to say things like that. Unfortunately, when I mean, I love TV, as you do.
Yes.
And when I'm flipping around, especially at night, at some of the cheap movie places, they're almost all dead. I mean, anybody earlier than 1990 could be dead now. And it starts to get very weird. I had, you know, with David Bowie, I actually had a thought. And I thought, it's not possible, but wouldn't it be nice if, because everybody dies,
right,
as I understand it.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could experience your own wake to see who showed up?
I love it.
What they said about you.
Yeah.
The only way to do that is to do it stage it before you die.
Yeah.
And then everybody in their lifetime should be able to have the experience of seeing those people all gather together for you, but you never do because you're dead.
So say you're terminal. And
you
know you're going to die in like a week.
You can do that.
Like you could set it up where you're sitting behind a two-way glass.
You could. And figure, well, I'm going to go Thursday anyway.
That'd be a great concept for a TV show.
It would be great, although I think many people might find it to be in somewhat poor taste.
But what if no one shows up? Then you commit suicide?
What the hell? At that point, you know, you're going anyway. And which is a horrible thing to say, but I mean, I'm just saying it wouldn't work, but it would be.
What would you expect, like, for your wake? Like, I mean, would you?
I expect everybody, guys, to at least put a suit on.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's all I ask.
I think I'm.
That's all I ask.
I think I've worked my whole life and been nice enough to people my whole life to have at least a 2-day showing.
Oh, I see what you're doing. You're doing an entire run.
Yes. I want like a week of celebration.
I would, I would want to, I count heads.
Do you find it hard when you watch TV and you're flipping around to now watch a television show for someone that died prematurely? Like a Robin Williams movie now, or a Chris Farley, or a James Gandolfini.
Yes.
People that you really like that...
Correct.
That died too soon.
Yes, I do not watch.
Do you pass by them now?
Yes, I do. Yes,
I do as well.
I do. There's no question about it. They would have to have been dead for a long period of time.
Right. The guy there from the blonde haired guy that just died from drugs, who was a wonderful actor.
Philip.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like all these actors that have died.
I can't watch them. Yeah. Here's the other thing when I'm watching movies on TV. If I'm watching a black and white movie, everybody in it can be dead. If I'm watching a black and white TV show, everybody in it can be dead. That's
right.
Okay. If it's a color version of any show or movie, I don't like it. I don't like it if people in it have died and it's already in color, because that's like, oh my God, that's getting closer to my stuff.
Yeah.
You know, people like in the Jeffersons. That was like back in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
They're pretty much all gone. And I'm saying, oh, no. That's too recent.
Yeah.
That's too recent. Now we're getting weird. So, I have a problem with that.
No, I do too. I watched an episode last night of Archie Bunker.
Yeah, there you go.
All in the
there
Family was
there
on last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Meathead, you know, I saw him recently down in New Orleans at a hotel filming a movie, and he's just so old and he's so young.
Yeah,
I've been finding a lot of joy. There's I don't know the name of the channel.
You know, his father's still alive.
He is?
Carl Reiner is still alive, yes.
Wow.
He's in his 90s, Mel Brooks and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been taping, and I don't know the channel. On my my dial, it's up in like the 900s.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like four or five back-to-back-to-back channels that play all old shows.
Yeah.
And I've been taping The Tonight Show. So I've been taping Johnny Carson's. They run them at 11 o'clock night.
On what channel?
I don't know. I'll text it to you later when I find it.
What cable provider do you have?
Comcast.
Really?
Yeah. Every night at 11, it
airs. The full show?
An hour show.
Really?
Yes. You have the monologue straight through.
And it's in the 900 areas?
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't that weird?
And
that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah. So I've been watching it every night. I've been taping it because I struggle to stay up to 11.
Yes.
But they're all from like 86, 87, 88.
Really?
Yeah, the ones I've seen so far.
Yeah.
You know, so the other day I watched one with a young Sean Penn, and he had just married Madonna, and he had just got in trouble for hitting the paparazzi, and then Richard Pryor came on, you know, after him.
Wonderful.
And you know, and then watching the monologues over again was really interesting because he's talking about Ronald Reagan, and it's just very surreal because it's on at 11 o'clock. It's on at the time that it was on back then.
Right.
So
close to
it. Right. Yeah. It was on, what, 11:30 or so? Yeah. You know, so I find it was only an hour show, right?
It was an hour and a half for the longest time.
Yeah, so they...
And then it became an hour, yeah.
So I've watched like four or five episodes, and I find myself... I taped last night, so I'm going to watch it tonight, and Michael J. Fox is like a young Michael J. Fox.
So this is a new thing that's just started. I just wasn't aware of that.
I don't know how long it's been going on. Like, prior to that, I watched... I was watching All in the Family. I was up late last night, but I was watching All in the Family and Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, they've been around for a while. Yeah.
You know, but to see The Tonight Show, you know, because...
That's different.
Because
that's a different concept.
Right, because you see on TV, on the infomercials, you can buy the box sets of the Tonight Show.
Right, and I watch that stuff because it's fun, but, you know, it's an infomercial.
Right. Actually, clicking on a full show like at the same time, kind of pretending.
Wow!
You sit there and you can escape into it. You could kind of pretend you're back in 1985, 86 again.
I'm there, man.
And I love Car. I mean, I love the old Carson shows. And I've always wanted to get my hands on the Ed Sullivan Show. I wish they would play that on TV.
True. That could be a whole new concept in television.
The Dean Martin Show.
That was a great show.
Yeah, I miss those.
I do too.
I don't miss it. I missed them.
Oh, you missed them. Oh,
yeah,
I thought
I'm
you said 40. You
I'll be 47 years old.
I thought you were 160. The way you talk.
Right. I know. I'm an old soul.
You really are.
But I miss those shows. Yeah, Dick Cavett.
I worked for him. You know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The other guy there, the
drug addict.
The black dude, what was his name that had the show on?
Arsenio?
No, not Arsenio. The other black guy there that back in the 60s that had a talk show on.
Oh, Flip Wilson?
Yeah, Flip Wilson. Uh-huh. Like all those shows.
Yeah. I know.
You know, every year, I didn't see it this year, but every year there was a Christmas special on, and it was another dead famous singer was Jerry Williams.
Not Jerry Williams.
No, Jerry. Oh God, what's his name? He was married to a skier and she died.
Andy Williams.
Andy Williams.
Okay, yes.
He had a Christmas special
on. Yes. He always
and
did. Yes.
And every year they would play it on like PBS
or something.
And the Osmonds were on.
The
Little Osmonds.
Always.
And I love that.
Yeah.
I didn't see it this year. I usually find it every year clicking around.
Yeah.
But I would love to have a channel that showed just all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of, there's like the MeTV, and there's a lot of Nickelodeon sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of channels like that, but yeah, something like with the Tonight Show, that's like a whole different deal. That's a great idea.
Johnny,
a great idea.
Johnny died, what, in the 90s?
Yes.
And he wasn't that old, right?
No, he died of, he chain smoked all his life.
Yeah.
And he died of emphysema.
Could he still be alive today? Or he'd be up there?
He'd be up there. He'd be up there.
You got to Wikipedia him.
Yeah.
Because
he'd be up there.
Because what's his name just died within the last 7-8 years, McMahon.
Correct. Yeah, and he was like, he was in his late 80s.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'll be 47 years old this year.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really struggle with, like, being this age.
Yeah.
You and I are a lot alike that way. Mm. And I just think of the innocent times and, you know, just how, I don't know, life was. And, TV was so much better. Music was so much better. Relationships with people, it was so much better.
It was better, yeah. I mean, well, I'm wondering if that's the way that every generation feels when they...
Right.
I think that's true. I think everybody who's a senior always says it's nothing. It was great when I was growing.
Right.
It was very different. I think we all say that.
Our kids, my youngest is 10. He's going to be saying that when he's 47.
I really think so. I really do. I really do. And the world was pretty unsafe when I was growing up. When I was growing up, it wasn't a cold war with Russia. It was a war. And any minute we would have, I remember in schools when I was in high school, we had air raid drills and we all had to get under our desks. And there were newsreels about and documentaries about the windows being blown out from the hydrogen bombs and the and it was imminent to all of us.
Was that in the '60s or
'70s? Yes.
See, I remember in the '80s being afraid of a nuclear explosion.
Well, I guess that back in the Russia days, back in the '60s, Cuban Missile Crisis, etc. It was almost a foregone conclusion. Yeah. This is going to happen,
right?
And I mean, it was the end of days, like back in the '60s. So, you can't really,
So we have ISIS nowadays,
that's always something. So that ISIS thing is crazy shit.
Anyways, what else is going on? What do I have going on?
I have no idea.
Well, I should know in the next couple of weeks if I'm gonna go on that stranded. If I'm gonna be going on Gilligan's Island.
Are you allowed to talk about this? Probably not.
Well, I'm not, but I don't really give a rat's ass.
Well, let me talk for you.
Yes.
In a very professional manner.
Yes.
There's a show on TV where people are put in locations where they're stranded, and they have, and it's a television series, and they have to work it out, and some
game
people
show.
Right. It's been on for over a decade, and Mark could be on that show. So whatever show it is, whatever I'm talking about. But anyway.
So I'm supposed to find out the next week if I'm going to be invited to LA to sign contracts.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think I've pissed them off. I don't think they're going to call me now because I've...
I think they like people to
piss
them
off.
I
tend to be somewhat obsessive compulsive.
So?
And somewhat of a pain in the ass.
So?
But I'm a I'm a whore.
Okay.
I'm a communication whore.
Okay.
It's hurry up and wait in Hollywood, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Get this done, get that done, and get this done. And I did the recent background check, which was extremely intimidating, and I do backgrounds for a living because I do have some skeletons in my closet, being a detective.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to get the physical.
Mm-hmm. You literally have skeletons in your closet,
I do,
by the way.
I actually do. And so I sent that in, and... They're basically just going to give me a call probably next week and say, we want you a week later to fly to LA.
Yep.
And I have sent them 15 emails and like left 3 voice messages saying, will you please contact me?
Right.
I am on trial for 3 cases. I'm under subpoena.
Right.
I have sick kids. Mm. I have a business. I'm not some 19-year-old freaking party animal schmuck that's going on the island.
Mm.
I need a heads up, and I haven't heard from them. So they're either saying this guy is one crazy mother son of a gun and we need him on the show, or they're gonna say, well, I'm kind of sick of him. So
well, I don't think it's they're sick of you. They may get the impression from what you said here that you're a very busy man with a lot of contractual legal things going on, so your availability might not be so simple.
My availability is fine if you give me a little. I need notice to get things in order.
My thought is that they don't give a crap about your communication. When they're ready to tell people, they tell people, and that's that. I think that's all that is.
So aside from that, my TV show, which I worked so hard on for a year and a half, which I can talk about now, was slated to air on History Channel back in October.
Yep.
And 3 weeks before, they pulled all the new pilot episodes from all the different production companies. Mm-hmm. They have a pilot week of all the new shows, and one of them slated to air was the show I co-starred in, which is a conspiracy show, and they pulled it and said, we're having budget cutbacks, and we're not putting it on. And I'm like, can I swear?
Sure.
Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. You're going to do your 800th rerun episode of Ice Road Truckers?
You know what I don't understand about that is they spent money.
Close to $1 million on this one episode.
So why not at least get a little play out of it? I don't understand. I mean, but that's the whole industry, and I don't understand that part of the industry. Yeah. If they were so interested in it, then why not even air it?
Right.
I mean, what harm would that be?
Right.
And like you say, rather than the 800th episode of how to make a shoehorn, which they have.
Their answer to the production company was, we've decided that as much as we love the show, it's going to be too expensive to produce if we pick it up for a full season.
But it's the cheapest show there is.
Right. And so now the production company has to now legally haggle it back from them.
Yeah.
And then they're going to pitch it to Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
And now I'll know by April if Sci-Fi wants a complete episode of this TV show, which I'm very proud of. I worked a year and a half at this. I was cast out of hundreds of people to star in this show, and was chosen and traveled and flew to Baltimore several times and voiced it over and told everybody I signed a contract pretty much saying it was airing and then telling everyone about it, and then to find out that they just ripped it away from
That's the business. That's the business.
Oh, I'm so sick
Who financed the pilot? Was it the production company or the History Channel?
I think the History Channel pays for it. I'm not sure how.
Then it might be difficult to get the rights back if you sold it to Sci-Fi and the History Channel paid for the production, that might not be too cool.
I don't know how
that works.
I don't know how it works either, and I've inquired about it with the producers, and they haven't shared with me.
Yeah.
But all I know is they said that they can acquire the rights to it and pitch it. So whether they get it, discounted or. Yeah. I don't know. It's
problem is they can probably acquire the rights to it, but they probably can't show the footage.
Do you know how many shows sit on ice? Like how much money they spend?
I would imagine it's 100 to 1.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, but we were that one. We were the one that was getting praise.
It's one that makes it. It's 99 that does.
Right, but we were the one that was supposed to make it,
right.
And now we're one of the 99. Yeah. So
it's part of the business. It's not an easy deal to do.
But life is about chasing your dreams.
Well, you're chasing it. You got a life then. Because you've been chasing, man.
I've been chasing for 15 freaking years.
Yeah.
And I just continue to talk about it here on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but other than that, I don't know, Rana. You know, I love coming on your show. I know you have a huge listening base.
Oh, I've got a huge something.
And are you going to pretend you have a man card this weekend and watch the NFL?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, so you actually will sit down and watch it?
Yes, absolutely.
Really? But I know you're not a big sports fan.
I'm not. I mean, I watch these games if I have nothing else to do, but if I have something else to do, I won't watch. No. This game will be interesting. I'm going to say something a little controversial.
Yes.
Of course, we're talking about New England Patriots because we taped the show in the New England area.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a rat's ass chance of even eating a sandwich this next game.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, everybody's injured, and they're playing like a bad high school football. and I'll tell you, all the other teams are doing really rather professionally, impressively well. So, I mean, this ain't going anywhere this year, unfortunately. So,
well, I disagree. Did I tell you my Patriots story?
I don't believe so.
I
don't recall anything.
This is a Patriots. This is a Patriots New York story, and you're going to probably tell me, "Oh my God, why did you do that?
Oh my God, why'd you do that?"
Yeah, I bought my twins. Now I bought my three sons. Now, speaking of old TV shows,
My three sons, sure.
So I base my life around having three boys.
Yes.
And my youngest is 10, and my 20-year-old twins are disabled. Mm-hmm. They're in wheelchairs, right, as people know. Mm-hmm. So I bought them tickets to the Patriots-New York Jets game for Christmas.
Oh, my God.
And we took a road trip to MetLife Stadium in New Jersey.
Okay.
The week, December 27th, I think the game was.
I did not know this.
So they got it the 25th, and then we hopped in the van.
Yep.
And we, you know, we drove, and I rented a hotel for the night, and we had a nice dinner. Then we went to the game, and we met some friends there. Actually, my brother-in-law happened to, unknown to me, bought tickets for my nephew, and they were there. So we met up with them and tailgated. And I thought once the game was over, we would just coast home.
Right.
Oh, my. It took me four hours and 15 minutes to get there. Right?
That's how long it takes.
It took me 8.5 hours to get home.
Oh, my God. Why? What? Where?
I was stuck on the George Washington Bridge for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that's Chris Christie.
Are you effing kidding me?
Yeah, that's what it's like. It can be like that there.
But I was talking to another mutual friend of ours, Attorney Diesenhoff, and he's like, why the hell did you take that bridge? There's another way to get out of there.
Well, yeah, you go up the Tappan Zee Bridge, you go up the Palisades Parkway, But I mean, still, yes, that's what it's like. I mean, I'm from New York. I go down there.
Yeah, well, that's why I said it. Yeah,
and people complain about the Southeast Expressway, where you can never get into Boston quickly. If it's it's nothing compared to New York. If you get stuck in New York, you you can't get out of the car because then someone's going to kill you. So it's just bad. It's always bad. God, it's like 8 million people, and I think they all have cars.
Yeah, you know, I just figured, okay, it was...
after a game would be especially bad.
4:30 on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. Granted, it's the week, Christmas weekend, so to speak.
Try rush hour.
Right. Well,
It's amazing.
I had to pull over twice. Yeah. And take a nap in the rest area. Now I have two kids in my van in wheelchairs, and a 10-year-old in the back.
Yeah,
and you know they just can't get out and urinate.
Correct.
You know,
so what do they do in those?
I bring a urinal with me.
Good for you.
And I pull over and I help them, and you know I'm a nurse.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's just horrible.
8.5 freaking. I was going stir crazy. Like I literally. For 2 hours, didn't accelerate past 1 mile an hour.
I can imagine.
All right, so then there was so I finally made it up. And the problem is, why don't they just get rid of the tolls after a game? That's what's holding you up.
Right.
It's the tolls to get on the damn freaking bridge.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, can't there be a way around that?
Well, getting out of New York, there's no toll. Getting into New York, there is.
Right, it's like...
Yeah.
So... You know, so we sit there for 2.5 hours, and I finally we get up, and I can see the toll booths, and, you know, and I can see the cars piled up for the to pay cash.
I know.
But then you see a little freedom on the Easy Pass lane, and now I don't have an Easy Pass, which I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And I said, fuck it.
Yeah.
I rebelled, and I floored it from 0 to 8 miles an hour.
Whoa, slow down.
And I screwed right through the Easy Pass.
Figured just take the ticket.
I haven't got it yet.
Yeah, you will.
Right. Right.
Oh, that's been a while.
And I'm like driving through, and I'm like, screw you.
Yeah.
Take a picture of my plate.
It's worth it.
And send me the $50 ticket.
It's worth it. Yeah, it is worth it.
But then right after that, I just was bumping it. But I had like a...
Still.
Like a minute and a half... Like release of being able to drive. Oh my
Terrible.
God! It just sucked.
I remember going down to New York. It was on a Sunday, and I was on my way home. And you took 95, I assume, all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from the George Washington Bridge, because we were on the west side.
Right.
And then we went to New Jersey and came out of New Jersey, and it's George Washington Bridge. It took the same eight hours, but the traffic wasn't so much. On the bridge, it was bumper to bumper all the way through Connecticut.
Yeah,
2 hours of bumper to bumper traffic.
Yeah,
and I kept expecting an accident, and then it frees up.
Yeah,
it never happened. There was no reason for traffic.
Connecticut blows.
It kind of does.
It's the worst. You know, because we hit a little bit of traffic going down, and it's as you get into each city.
Yeah.
You know, because Connecticut's the longest stretch from Massachusetts to New York.
Correct.
And they're also the biggest pricks, the police there, so you really have to kind of watch out.
Yeah.
We hit a little bit of traffic going through Connecticut as... Oh, you know what we did this weekend?
No.
I'm just changing. I have no idea. I'm changing gears, thinking of going through states.
Yeah.
And I'll never do it ever again. My wife likes to gamble a little bit. I shouldn't say... She's not a gambler. She likes to go play... She likes to go blow $400 in 40 minutes on the slot machine.
I understand.
That's not gambling. No. It's more of a...
Giveaway.
Yeah. It's more of a release.
Entertainment.
So we've been going lately down to Plain Ridge here in Massachusetts.
Yeah,
It's a new casino.
I went there once,
And so, you know, and we'd like to check what musical acts are playing also to try to get a little free music while you're gambling. And there was a better musical act playing at Twin River, and we had never been to Twin River before. So I'm like, all right, let's go try Twin River and give it a shot. Oh, my God. We had to leave.
Why?
We could not handle the smoke.
Really?
It was so...
You can smoke in the casino there?
Yes.
Really?
It was so bad. Wow. Like, we both had headaches and sore throats. Wow. We had dinner in a restaurant where you couldn't smoke in within there. But then, you know, it's almost like, you know, back in the days where, you know, where African Americans had to go into the back of the bus or have special bathrooms.
Yes.
Well, they have a special casino for people that don't smoke.
That don't smoke.
It's
opposite.
It's the size of a fucking broom closet.
I know.
And it's almost like the antiquated machines that are getting ready to go to the graveyard.
That's like in Atlantic City. The few casinos that are left there, they're small, non-smoking. Yeah. Everything else is smoking. You're right. Yeah.
But
it's annoying.
But the smoke was so bad there. So I guess it's a state law thing. Massachusetts, you can't smoke in casinos, but Rhode Island.
Yes, I guess you can.
Oh,
yeah, I guess.
It was, yeah. And you're not a smoker.
No.
You know?
No.
And my wife smoked for 15 years and she quit.
Yeah.
And now she can't handle it.
Right. I don't blame her.
So, I know, that was my weekend.
Well, I need some tea, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to go tea bag.
Okay.
Well, in my cup.
We have Sebastian is going to join us. He's going to tell us all about tea, which I don't drink tea. I've heard it's very good for you, but I don't drink a lot of coffee either. So.
Well, before we end for Sebastian, I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay, pick my bone.
I listen to your shows.
Oh, sorry. You're not supposed to.
You said that you don't enjoy, you know, we've hung out socially a number of times.
Okay, right.
Right, we've had dinner with our spouses, and
this isn't the end of the show, by the way. Yes. We're just going to have an interview, but go on.
All right. Well, anyway,
I'm trying to interrupt you.
So you stated on the air that you don't enjoy having dinner out with friends.
Correct. Yes.
So does that mean all those times you just didn't enjoy having dinner with me and my wife, or my wife and I, to use proper English?
Let me explain two things.
And
to
you invited me, so why don't you pay?
Correct. You're right on both counts. Normally, I do feel that making plans to sit across somebody and watch them chew is an odd, strange plan.
It is.
I do it. A lot of what I do on this program is theatrical. There are tinges of truth to everything, but nothing is completely as it's heard. So, yes, I do. It is entertaining to speak to people that you get along with. To simply go out with somebody and watch them chew is ridiculous to me. But to have a fun conversation and then happen to be eating is something else.
Why don't we get together sometime in the next month or so with our wives?
Yes.
And we'll...
Watch them eat.
Well, no, what we'll do is we'll get together, we'll have conversation in the car on the way to the restaurant,
we'll
go to separate tables, and then we'll just have conversation on the way back.
Now you're talking.
And then we'll say goodnight.
You're talking now. Now you're talking.
And we'll pretend we bumped into each other at the restaurant.
That's cool. We can make it a fun play date.
I'm just teasing you.
No, I'm serious.
Well, thanks for having me on. And
well, it's not over yet.
Oh, that's right. We're interviewing the teabagger.
So let's say hello to Sebastian.
Oh, hey, Seb.
Hi, how are you today, Michael?
Hey, Mike.
Sebastian. Hi. Yeah, great. Thank you.
Sebastian.
Sebastian is his first name. Yeah, Michael. Oh, yeah, you have a last, Michaelis, which is your last name, which a lot of people might think is your first name, but it's Sebastian. Okay, here we go. All right, we're taping this for 8 minutes. You've got us correct, Ron and Mark, and here we go. Sebastian Michaelis joins us now. He is a tea sommelier, which I love that word, sommelier. What does that mean, Sebastian?
Well, thanks for having me. So what it means is I've been trained up as a master blender, a tea taster. So I joined Tetley 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and my training was to taste hundreds and hundreds of teas every day. And the idea is that I can understand, be able to taste all the different characteristics of teas from around the world in order to be able to blend them in the correct way to make sure that Tetley always tastes exactly as it does.
So tea is your thing. Now, this is National Hot Tea Month, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. And today is National Hot Tea Day, so it's great to be in the U.S. for this.
Yes. Now, in this country and in many others, coffee is the big thing, but tea is becoming extremely popular, as it is already in other countries throughout the world, but it's becoming the real person's choice here. It's a little more sophisticated, as I understand it.
Well, it's a really exciting time for tea in the U.S. at the moment, because we're seeing a lot more trend of people trying out new teas, black teas, green tea, herbal teas, and for us, bringing Tetley over to the U.S., what we're keen to do is to try and give the U.S. audience a proper British black tea experience. Our tea is the kind that exactly the same tea blend that we use in the U.K. Mm. It's got lots of thickness. It's a really strong cup. So in the morning, it's a real pick-me-up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, Sebastian. You know, we typically drink coffee here starting our day, so we could, you know, kind of get a little energy to get moving towards work. Now, does tea have the same amount, if not more, of caffeine in it, like a regular cup of black coffee might have?
Well, black tea actually has approximately half the amount of caffeine that that coffee does.
Mm-hmm.
Green tea actually has about the same. I mean, it varies, but it has about the same as coffee. So a lot of people think green tea is less caffeine, but it's about the same as coffee. But actually, both black and green teas will still give you a pick-me-up. I mean, in the UK, the first thing I do when I get to work in the morning is make myself a pot of tea. It's a national pastime, so we all use it in the morning, so it does us well.
Yeah, I also understand that there are medicinal qualities to tea that you may not find in coffee. You know, like there are some health benefits.
I mean, a lot of people will drink tea for health benefits, especially green tea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little difficult to make health claims,
right.
Because you have to have the proper science behind it. But, you know, a lot of people do think of tea as a healthy product.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's about having a proper, strong cup of British tea in the morning. That's why I drink it.
Wonderful. Okay, now, is there a proper way of doing this? In this country, many people that drink tea, which I call the pedestrian people, they have tea bag. They're tea baggers, and they dip them in the hot water, and they call it tea. That's not really... how do you do this?
The Lipton experience.
Yes, right, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, this is what I want to talk to Americans about, how to make tea like a Brit will.
Yeah.
So... Is it okay if I give you a few tips?
Absolutely, please.
So first thing I always recommend is when you're filling up the kettle, always use freshly drawn water from the tap,
mm-hmm.
because if you use reboiled water, it loses some of its oxygen and it won't brew the tea as well. So always use freshly drawn water.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
When you pour the water into the teacup, always make sure you use boiling water for black tea.
Okay.
You don't want the water to have lost some of its heat.
Yep.
So make sure it's a rolling boil. Allow it to brew for, my recommendation is 2 to 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But if you prefer it a bit weaker or a bit stronger, of course, you can vary that.
Yep.
If you're brewing green tea, I always recommend do not use boiling water, because that can make the tea taste a little bit too harsh.
Oh.
A little bit too astringent.
Oh.
So what the best thing to do is allow the water, the kettle to boil,
mm-hmm.
and then leave it for 2 minutes maybe, and then the temperature will lower down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it wants to be about 180 degrees Fahrenheit, something like that.
All right.
So always use slightly cooler water for green tea.
Okay, I will.
Hmm.
All right. And I see some people put, does Tetley also do the loose tea?
We do in other countries. Uh-huh. We haven't brought it to the U.S. yet, but
okay.
You know, the trend is looking like a lot of people are interested in loose leaf tea. So you never know. For us, you know, loose leaf tea is there is a market for that, but it's like comparing oranges and apples. The blends that we have in the US are trying to mimic exactly what we have in the UK.
I gotcha.
It's about having that strong, good British cup in the morning.
Yeah, but that is different than the tea that we're used to here. Is that correct? What you're introducing?
Yeah, so the tea that we have, the blend that we have in the U.S. is exactly the same as the U.K. one.
Right.
You do tend to find that U.S. teas, they can be a little bit weaker sometimes.
Yeah, that's
a lot
what
of
I'm
people,
thinking.
They make iced tea. Those weaker teas are better for iced tea sometimes.
Yeah.
So ours is about hot tea blend.
Gotcha.
But obviously we've got the green tea as well as, we even have our own iced tea blend as well.
Yeah.
Now, do you drink tea just straight up or do you put sugar in it, or I mean, is that a preference, or a little bit of milk?
I do use milk because mm-hmm. if you make a strong cup of tea, milk helps to kind of round it off at the end,
right?
So it's not too astringent. I don't use sugar. I'm a bit of a purist, so I like just to have the flavor of the tea.
Yeah.
Sometimes sugar can mask it a little bit, but if that's your preference, there's no problem with using sugar.
I think I want to try. I drink black coffee. You know, for many years I was drinking putting cream and sugar in my coffee, but I started to pack on the weight. I really force myself to drink black and acquire my taste buds to adapt to it. So yeah. I'd like to give tea a shot, I think, in 2016.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's going to be my resolution that I've yet to
find
yet.
Sounds like a good idea.
You know what? I love iced tea. You know, I love cold tea. I haven't been that. I'm not used to hot tea, but I really do enjoy a cup of cold, you know, iced tea in the summer.
Well, this is a time of year. It's winter here.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect time to get some hot liquid going, something of good quality. And it's a great idea. I like it.
And more tea shops are opening up, I think. The city areas in Boston, where you could actually go in and they specialize in a cup of tea. You know, in various chains like Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts obviously offer it as well, but I'm not sure what the quality is.
Yeah. There's
definitely a trend in terms of tea shops, which is great. I mean, what we want to do is educate the U.S. Consumer about tea and try and get more people drinking it, because it's a great product.
So you're like a wine taster. It's like you put a little swig of tea in your mouth and you can tell if it's a good tea or a bad tea.
Yeah, essentially. So my job is, what I'll do is in the UK, we'll brew the tea really strong when we're tasting it, and we actually take a dessert spoon and we slurp the tea up off the spoon and spit it out again, which sounds pretty disgusting, but
I have plenty of that's one.
Yeah,
it's the best way to get that flavor and to get the taste. So yeah, my job will be to taste, make sure there's no faults with it.
Right.
Try and find the best qualities that we need for the tea.
Very cool. Where do we get more information about this experience?
So if anyone's interested, please do visit the TetleyUSA.com for more brew tips and to learn more about the range of teas that we have in the U.S.
And you can order it online and actually have it shipped to you directly?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure.
Well, answer.
Well, I think you can. I think you can order everything and have it shipped to you. To be honest with you,
no doubt.
I don't think that's a problem. Sebastian, it's been a pleasure. What a wonderful job you have. If you ever want to switch, you let me know.
And make sure you cross your T's and dot your I's next time.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks, bye, Sebastian. Bye bye.
Cheers. Bye bye.
Well, thank you, Sebastian. That was very interesting. You all right? Are you okay? I think you're okay. I think you're all right. Mark, thank you so much for stopping by today to do the show. Maybe we should do this again since we're not eating anything.
Yes, absolutely.
And you didn't even sip your coffee. So I didn't even have to watch you drink, so that's pretty cool.
Hey, you watch that show? You ever watch that show, Talk Soup?
Yeah, it's not on anymore.
No, but I was clicking through the TV the other night, and there was a show on called Talk Stoop.
Yes, correct.
And there were people sitting on the front steps. I thought that was pretty creative.
There's this girl who sits and interviews people. It's the most boring show in the world.
Right.
It's just she does it on the front steps of places. Other than that, it's just a horrible program.
Right.
Like, that's never been. Let's do an interview show. Where should we do it? In your bathtub, naked? No, let's do it on the front stoop.
Why not call it Front Porch and have women that are, you know.
Here's a show that, you'd have to be a limited amount of people that you can interview. Here's a show where you indeed interview people in a bathtub.
That'd be cool.
A good sized tub, let's face it, you know, but naked, but you don't necessarily see all the junk. And the interviews are serious interviews, like with the Secretary of State or something.
Yeah.
But in bathtubs, naked.
That's
what about, I don't know. I don't know if you get a lot of guests.
What about a show called Hot Tub Time Machine? And you actually sit in a hot tub and you go back in time and interview guests.
So you're telling me it's been done. You're telling me it's been done.
Oh, has it?
Well, the way you say it, it sounds like it is a show.
Well, why don't we make a show? That's a good.
Is there such a show as Hot Tub?
No, there was a movie, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, I did not see it.
But why not a show called Hot Tub Time Machine? You sit in the hot tub.
There are spinoffs of movies all the time. I'll sit in the hot tub. I don't care if anybody shows up either.
Yeah. All right. Well,
what do I care?
All right. Sorry. I know I keep making the show drag. Let's talk to the teabagger.
Oh, okay.
I mean, let's talk to.
We already talked to the teabagger.
Oh, we did.
Yes. Your memory is very short.
Well, I love how he told
Remember
us.
I said, "Welcome back."
Right. I love how he likes to slurp it in and spit it out.
Okay, Mark. Well, it is the end of the show.
My second wife was.
Not right. Yeah. I think you made that point to him, to which he didn't respond.
Right.
He made believe. That's the only make believe I didn't hear you thing.
Right. He did do that.
Right, he did. He's good at that, because sommeliers do that.
Right.
Tasting wine, not so much. Tea, not so much, but not responding. Very, very good at that.
Gotcha.
Mark Chappetta is his name. Can they Google you or find you in someplace?
Yeah, they can find me at onthemarkpi.com. I'm actually available for... public speaking events. I do have the ability to go from G up to, PG-13 to rated R if you want to hire me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I entertain everyone. I entertain the troops and entertain whoever.
Fantastic. Perfect.
Yes.
Wonderful. ladies and gentlemen, he's Mark Chappetta. My name is Ron Van Dam. Have yourselves a wonderful day, and I wish you peace.